To suggest in these modern times that trust is an issue would be a bit like saying that water leaks were an issue for the Titanic. The reason being, we've seen numerous examples recently of where trust has, at the very least, and we're perhaps understating it a bit here, been called into question. We certainly see it frequently with politicians. In fact, I would argue that the average Australian does not trust politicians. It's also happened with celebrities, perhaps even more recently with a national broadcaster. They tell us trust is the foundation upon which every single relationship, be it personal or business, is based. Without it, no relationship. It's as simple as that. For example, if you go to a workplace and watch how teams try and work together, where there is no trust, they fail miserably. Same with personal relationships. No trust, forget staying together for any length of time. If you don't trust somebody, it's just not going to work. And that applies not only to intimate relationships, but I would also argue personal friendships. Name one person with whom you have a friendship that you do not trust. Simply not there. We should perhaps stop for a moment, pause and reflect and say, well, why is there no trust? Is it role models in society? And don't get me started on that one, because I happen to think sometimes that people we expect to be role models doesn't make any sense. Or maybe it's a lack of role models. Trust is, without question, something that can and should be demonstrated. I would argue also needs to be demonstrated. But how many of us actually know how to do that? And here's a question to ponder for a moment. Are you a trustworthy person? If I asked you to do something, you said, yep, no problem. Could I absolutely trust you to do it? We're joined on the program by Malcolm Dawes. Malcolm is a people performance authority expert. Let's face it, we have lots of experts these days. In some respects, we have them because we need them. There is an ever-increasing demand. Malcolm, thank you very much for joining us.
You're very welcome, Chris.
I would suggest that there are large swathes of people that we don't trust, or perhaps arguably we should never have trusted or have never entrusted in the first place. The first category perhaps are people like politicians. For fair reason or foul, I think it's probably fair to say the average non-politically aligned Australian doesn't trust politicians of any colour. We go to elections and we vote for the politicians that we dislike the least at any given time. That's always been my interpretation. On the other side of the coin, we often look to people like celebrities and others, sports people, for example, to be role models. And somehow, if they're not, that's seen as some sort of betrayal of trust. Those groups fall into the category of people that I believe should never have been entrusted with that responsibility in the first place.
It is fascinating. And in your introduction there, you mentioned a number of different groups, the public broadcaster, politicians. We seem to have this society at the moment where I believe that trust is lacking. We hear politicians, for example, say one thing and then they do totally the opposite. I don't think we're allowed to use the L word, which they are not allowed to use in Parliament.
For our discussion, Malcolm, why don't we call a spade here? The L word, of course, is liar or lies.
Indeed, yes, indeed. I'm just trying to be politically correct, Chris.
Don't be on this program, it's banned.
Okay. Yeah, well, there are too many liars around. And not only that, I watched in awe, if that's the right word, or fascination, a few weeks ago when Peter Dutton tried to oust Mr. Turnbull, which he did successfully, of course, but he didn't successfully do it. Somebody else did on his behalf eventually. But the lies that circulated then and before and since just fascinates me that we don't seem to be able to trust anybody. And when, as you said in your introduction, whether it's in the workplace or a personal relationship, we've got nobody anymore to seem to look up to trust, because we just hear lies, more lies and damn lies every time.
Why is this the case, though? Let's look at the politicians. And look, to be fair, sometimes they set themselves up and provide the most obvious and glaring examples. I would have to say to you, with the greatest of respect to halfwits, even a halfwit would have known with the recent leadership challenge where the lies were. So what you have is you have people turning around to ordinary, average, everyday people, spinning them a yarn, then feeling all affronted when people look at you and go, BS, and feeling even more affronted when they have a low opinion of you. Yet you become the architects of your own stupidity, don't you?
You do, and it's not only what we witness, for example, the sort of leadership spill, but then the whole litany of things that came out about Dutton afterwards. And it's not just Dutton. I don't want to have a go at him. I've got no reason to any more than I have a go at anybody else. But after the leadership spill, which eventually he didn't win, of course, as we all know, but the lack of trust, the lies that came out there about the French au pairs and the AFP and various other things, yet he still stands there as if butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. And we see it globally with politicians. We see it with celebrities. You know, we all get fed up with turning on the TV.
But there is a difference. I would argue that we logically have a standard that we would impose on politicians because of the nature of the work they do. Where politicians fall short, I believe that lies with politicians themselves. However, when we move over to people like celebrities, to a certain extent, Malcolm, that falls back to us. The reason being, why do we suddenly expect because somebody happens to be a really good singer or because they happen to be a really good actor and people like to watch their movies or their TV shows, why do we suddenly think that that automatically makes them a role model? What they are is a human being, the same as you and I, doing a job the same as you and I, the difference being they do their job publicly. And somewhere we say, this person is a role model. Well, I would say as a collective public, that is our first mistake.
I think maybe you're right, Chris. Maybe we do take these people at face value far too often. But we do put our trust in them because people pay for their music, their film, their TV show, their book, whatever it might be. I agree with you. I think we do put a lot of trust in people, and that's what makes them a role model. Maybe we do that far too quickly. Maybe we judge people too quickly and trust them because they're famous or they're well known or they're in the public eye. We're not very good at being trustworthy. And you're right, you know, we expect politicians to be trustworthy because we vote for them and they tell us all these wonderful things that they're going to do.
I see them as being different from celebrities. Look, I think at some point they're going to wake up and say, well, you know something, so-and-so may be a good actor, they may be a good musician. That does not necessarily mean they're going to be a good role model. In fact, they may not even be a nice person. They might be extremely talented at what they do, and their talent is beyond question. But that does not mean that they actually represent a role model. At some point, when we talk about role models, why aren't we also talking about family members? Mums and dads should be good role models. Why do we suddenly expect these external people be the role models, particularly for our children and grandchildren, and then turn around and whinge when they turn out to fall short?
I agree with you. I do a lot of work with people and ask that question of people in teams, you know, who do you trust? And tell me about the people that inspire you or that have given you some reason to believe that they're good and great. And more often recently, I'm seeing that people are talking about families and, you know, extended family or teachers or university lecturers and people like that. If I asked that question of groups in the workplace a few years ago, it was always somebody famous, whether it's a sports person or a TV or radio or movie celebrity. But that is actually being seen less and less. So you're right. I think those role models are not, and because of what's been in the news over the last 3 or 4 years with all sorts of people falling foul of their behavior, I think people are now looking to different role models. But I guess the bigger question is when we look at trust, where do we look for trust? And unfortunately, I was just watching this evening on The Project on the TV about the number of kids that are killed in violence. They trust family members, whether they're close family members or extended family members. And I think we do need role models, not necessarily of any type, whether they're celebrities, TV or whatever. But we do need role models to help us to understand what trust is. There just doesn't seem to be that anymore. You look around the world in politics, for example, as we said before, there aren't any real role models who say what they're going to do and actually follow it through. They're not reliable. They're not consistent. We can't sort of look at them and say, you're honest, you've done the right thing, because that just doesn't seem to exist anymore. So I totally agree with you that the role models which we used to look upon perhaps in the past, maybe for the wrong reasons, celebrities, whether they're in movie spotlight or whether they're sports people, perhaps they don't deserve that role model status any longer because of what we've seen. But there doesn't appear to me to be that trust. And I talk to people in the workplace, as I say, and working with teams, and they say, we don't trust each other. Why is that? Why is it that we don't trust each other? It's because we don't actually demonstrate that trust to each other, whether it's in a personal relationship or in the workplace, perhaps because we haven't got the right sort of people to look up to and show us how to do that.
The other problem is, you talk, for example, about some of the fact that, say, kids who should have trust within families sometimes find themselves receiving violence. That's perhaps also because people can no longer be trusted to look at a situation pragmatically. For example, the responsible authorities look at a couple and say, there's no way you should be looking after kids. Kids will be in danger with you. It's a similar thing to that. I mean, at some point you also have to trust people who would logically be expected to be guardians of the welfare of people in a wider sense to also do that. You talk about in a workplace. Well, how many people in a workplace will talk about somebody, I'd watch out for him or her because they're nothing more than a backstabber? What that says straight away is absolutely do not trust this person because they will somehow turn against you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we see a lot in the workplace. We really see it a lot in personal relationships. I often say to people, what is trust? And people struggle to define trust. And they say, oh, it's just something that happens. I say, well, no, define it. What is it? You can actually demonstrate trust. You can actually show somebody that you trust them. And yes, the saying is that trust and respect are earned. Of course they are, but that's because
trust is being able to rely on somebody to do or not do as they say they will or won't do. Absolutely. That's how I define trust. So if I say to you, Malcolm, this is the situation. Now, please, I've told you so you can be informed. I want you to keep it to yourself because obviously if other people find out about it, it might be an issue. And you say, Chris, I'll keep my mouth shut. Now, trust to me is to absolutely know that you will keep your mouth shut. To not trust you is to suspect that you're probably going to open your mouth.
I use a similar sort of analogy, which is what makes you or I give somebody our most prized possession to look after. I mean, I've got kids who are now grown up, but when I first got a babysitter in, what was it about that person that we trusted enough to give our most prized possession to? And your listeners may not have children, but they may have some other prized possession. You know, people go away on long holidays and say, hey, mate, can you turn the car over and drive it around the block so as it doesn't seize up or the battery go flat? What is it about that person that you trust enough to give your most prized possession to? And you're right in what you say. You know, they are reliable. They're people who you believe are going to do the right thing. You've got confidence in them that you feel safe. You feel safe in giving them your most prized possession to look after, whether that's safe from a physical point of view or an emotional point of view. So that's why it applies to any sort of relationship. It's to do with the relationship that we have with our role models, whether they be politicians or whoever. It's our one-to-one relationships in personal relationships. It's in our workplace relationships. But you're absolutely right in what you say, that we have to have the confidence. If you say something which is, I don't want anybody else to know, Chris tells Malcolm something or Malcolm tells Chris something, we don't want the rest of the world to know. We trust each other to do that.
Yep.
So what is it that we can observe that we as people can look at the other person and say, I trust you? It's a demonstrable behavior or a group of behaviors. We do the right thing. Let's say, for example, you said to me, Malcolm, I want you to babysit my children. And I say, okay, Chris, I will do that. I will look after them. I will make sure that I will do everything. I put them to bed at the right time. I don't let them watch a late night movie or whatever. And also, if something were to befall that child that you've given me your trust to look after, let's say, I don't know, I drop it on its head, for example, probably not a good example, but then I would phone you at your restaurant or your night out and say, hey, I've dropped the child and I've taken it to hospital or it's okay and whatever. It's all of those things that we can demonstrate to people. But when that trust is lost, it's because we say we're going to do one thing and actually do the opposite. And that was, I guess, my point about when we watch politicians and those people we look up to, rightly or wrongly, as role models, when they fall foul of that trust, where do we learn that from? And hopefully there are still enough people around that can teach their kids trust and teach each other trust, because I think it's something that lacks quite a lot in society.
Malcolm, we're out of time. Thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome, Chris. Good to speak to you again. Take care.
Malcolm Dawes is People Performance Authority expert.